Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the epistle reading from Acts chapter 2, part of Peter's great Pentecost sermon, where he says, "Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." Friends in Christ, today, on Trinity Sunday, many churches like ours use something called the Athanasian Creed. Why? Imagine that you are 70 years old and the civil government decides to send you into exile. Not for the first time, but for the fifth time in 3 decades. What would you do? A normal person would probably consider their options. And with a lifetime of accomplishments, a man named Athanasius deserved better than a one-way ticket to nowhere. In earlier years, Athanasius had been elected bishop of Alexandria. He'd written a landmark book identifying Jesus as God. He'd played a significant role at the Council of Nicaea, the first worldwide conference of the church, from which we got a little something called the Nicene Creed. And Athanasius ended up fighting his whole life for what he thought had been decided at Nicaea, the biblical teaching that Jesus was fully human and fully God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. When the council voted in favor of this creed, which we still use today, Athanasius thought that the opposing viewpoint would finally be put to rest. Well, what's the opposing viewpoint? Well, there was a very popular teacher named Arius. And what Arius went around teaching was that Jesus was created and therefore not equal with God. Athanasius thought, yes, now that we have this Nicene Creed, no one will pay any attention to Arius and his false teaching any longer. But he was mistaken. People who agreed with Arius not only hung around, but managed to gain positions of power, and they whispered into the emperor's ear that Athanasius, who kept publicly insisting before the emperor that the Nicene Creed should be upheld, well, they whispered to the emperor that Athanasius, do you know the stuff that he does in secret? How he traffics in murder and sorcery and treason? Don't you think you ought to do something about that, emperor? And so that emperor, Constantine, you've probably heard of him, well, he valued peace above anything else, so he held a hearing and condemned on trumped-up charges. Athanasius was sent packing to a place today that we call Germany. Now, here's where it gets a little convoluted. When Constantine died 2 years later, Athanasius was allowed to come back. And 2 years after that, when followers of Arius gained control of key leadership positions in the church, Athanasius had to flee for Rome for asylum. And on it went for decades. Athanasius repeatedly losing and regaining his office. And when he was allowed to return to Alexandria, his home base, at age 68, no doubt he thought, now I can just finish my service in peace. Not quite. Within 2 years, the new Western Emperor Valens, and you guessed it, a follower of Arius, ordered Athanasius banished again. But he reversed his decree 4 months later. Athanasius was allowed to come back. For 7 more years, he served in Alexandria until his death in 373 AD. Sadly, Arius's point of view that Jesus was created and therefore not equal with God held firm sway in the church, and it seemed that Athanasius' bold, lifelong stand for the truth and all the heartache that it had caused him had been all for nothing. However, 8 years later, when Emperor Theodosius took the throne, the teachings of Arius were banned, and the decision of the Council of Nicaea was reaffirmed, and the church never again considered Arian teaching an option. And the Nicene Creed, as you're well aware, is still used by millions upon millions of Christians worldwide as a basic statement of the universal, small c, Catholic, biblical, true Christian faith. And for this, we have, at least in part, Athanasius to thank. I share his story with you today for a couple reasons. First of all, as you are more than aware of, today we spoke the Athanasian Creed responsibly. It carefully says what can be said about our triune God. And as you use this document, if you go back and look at it again, what you will see is that Athanasius's concerns rise to the surface in this document. And Athanasius did indeed have a hand in writing this creed. And he says things such as, "Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age, perfect God and perfect man." In other words, what Athanasius and the Christians of the past want us to know is that Jesus is no second-class citizen. He wasn't just a nice guy that God decided to use for his purposes. Jesus is God, period. Whether or not we're conscious of it, this was a battle that the church had to fight. People like Athanasius had to endure horrible difficulty just so that they could say, "Jesus is true God and true man," and that those who say that Jesus is only man or only God are incorrect. This is a really intriguing day. This day of Holy Trinity is the only festival in our church year that is not based on a historical event, like Pentecost last week, for example, or the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas. Instead, it is based on God himself, or the nature of God, if you will. And some might therefore say that this day is based on a teaching or a doctrine. Now that sounds a little impersonal, doesn't it? But whatever you say about Trinity Sunday, the bottom line is this, and the Athanasian Creed says it, is of eternal importance to know who God is. And the way that God has described himself to us is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you see sort of a familiar diagram of that on the screen, the triangle. Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, the Father is God, but the Father is not the Son. We went into great detail in that in the Creed. Why are we even talking about this today? Well, here's why. There are an awful lot of people out there who will tell you they believe in God. But what God are they talking about? Sort of a grandfatherly God of a child's drawing? Or maybe an inventor God who sort of tinkered and invented this world and then stepped away to see what was going to happen? Or how about a faceless force that runs through the universe? Or the God that Peter refers to in his Pentecost sermon, the Father who sent his Son, the Son who sent the Holy Spirit, the God of Holy Scripture, the God who acted in time and history to produce forgiveness of sins and endless life through the cross and empty tomb of the Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to call this personal knowledge of God doctrine, that's fine. And I hope that you will see, for this very reason, that having the right doctrine really matters. It's the difference between thinking there might be a God who is watching us from a distance and a God who came down here and got his hands dirty, who got his body and his heart broken just to tell us that he loves us and he wants us back. That's what's at stake when we talk about doctrine. Doctrine is not a dirty word. Doctrine is knowing God the right way, the way that He wants to be known. And what could possibly be more important than that? Athanasius felt that knowing God the right way was so important that he was willing to lose his job. He was willing to lose the respect of his peers. Reputation, throw it into the dump. To him, it wasn't even a choice. He would not stay silent. How about you? When you know that standing for the truth might hurt somebody's feelings or make somebody mad, what do you do? When I consider that question for myself, I know that I must repent before the Lord and seek His forgiveness. And if you share that conviction and confession with me, there is hope and there is good news. The God who explains Himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit offers full pardon and forgiveness to those who trust in the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus. The Father waits for us with open arms and He runs to those who turn to Him. The Spirit of God fires up faith in our hearts. That same Holy Spirit changes us into bold and loving Christians, people who will speak the truth in love and who will live that love to the world. And whatever happens, happens. That's going to upset some people. Some people will claim all truth is relative. There are no absolutes. Other people really won't care one way or the other. And once in a while, you'll even run into some well-meaning Christians who suggest that love and right teaching or doctrine don't go together real well. When that happens, we can take a page from Athanasius. And here's what I mean. Love doesn't let a child go play in a busy street just because they want to. Grabs them out of there. And it's love. It is love that causes us to share this simple message. There's a right way to know God. The way He wants to be known. And when you know Him that way, you have everything. Would you pray with me? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, when we stop to consider your true nature, our minds boggle. We cannot begin to completely or maybe even partially understand the how of who you are. And yet, in a very simple way, you have stated, you are Father, you are Son, you are Holy Spirit, not three gods, but one God. And though we do not know the how of you, we do know the why. We know that you have done everything that you have done in order to reclaim us, to forgive us, to restore us, to give us all of your gifts, and to grant us endless life with you. So give us your Holy Spirit that we may trust in your Son's sacrifice on our behalf, that we may live the life that you have given to us to live, and like so many bold saints of old, you would cause us to stand in the face of opposition and to speak your words of love and concern to our world. Wherever you are, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there is true and abundant life. We bind ourselves to that name today, your name. Amen.